Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman by heading over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Halbkasten mit Tom Reimann und David Bell.
Well, hey everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to another episode of Hypecast!
Hello?
The show where we get hyped about stuff and or things. I'm your co-host, Tom Reimann.
I am your other co-host, David Bell. Hello?
Hello? Someone
else there? Is someone else there? Someone here?
We have another human.
I'm here.
Another human voice.
Who is that?
Oh, this is Abe Epperson. I'm guesting on this episode of Hypecast.
Yes, you are.
Shit.
Yeah, we got all sorts of weird energy.
Yeah. This is just, three of us are in completely different places right now.
Ooh. Weird energy?
Just emotional.
Weird energy? What do you, all right.
Sorry.
It's a Thursday. I was just watching the Democratic debates.
Yeah,
you know?
Me too.
So I do have a weird energy.
Yeah, it was a weird way to pump myself up for the Hypecast.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't quite work. I did that. We recorded something yesterday, Tom, too. Yeah, we did.
Oh, yeah?
And I remember before we recorded then, I was just looking at pictures of 9/11 because it was 9/11. And it was like, yeah, getting ready for a podcast. Looking at tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm comparing the debate to 9/11 in terms of
to 9/11.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying it's weird. It's not the best. Like watching Democratic debate. I don't know, Abe. What would you say? Did it mentally prepare you for this moment?
Yeah. It made me. I'm in a contrarian tilt right now.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you guys say, I'm just gonna be like, While I agree with what you're kind of saying, I don't think you're saying it correctly.
Right. We want to argue over the minutiae of things.
Well, I agree with what you're saying. I hate you.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's
guys,
the heart of American discourse.
Yeah,
it really is.
Guys, we got you know what we got?
We got some trailers.
We got some trailers.
We got some goddamn trailers.
Yeah, we got a bunch. We got a handful.
This is a strange episode.
We got five. One for every finger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to fist you with these trailers.
Yeah,
is
we're
going to
shove these fingers just wherever you want.
Yeah.
Wherever you put trailers to experience them, that's where we're going to put these fingers.
Oh, you guys are weird.
We're doing such a good job right now.
Yesterday was 9/11, and I got to be honest, I haven't forgotten.
Yeah,
I'm still in not forgetting mode. So, sorry.
Four minutes in, we've done a double
9/11
drop.
Apologize for my patriotism.
Speaking of patriotism,
he's doing the segue. Midway is the
is
the first trailer.
First trailer is Midway, Roland Emmerich's take on Pearl Harbor.
Mm.
Somebody watched Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor and thought, you know who could really nail this? Roland Emmerich.
Yeah, kind of the same director, but slightly less good and has different affectations.
Right.
He has different interests of we should have that scene. Whereas Michael Bay would be like, why would you have that scene? Just fucking shoot. But they're kind of the same. They just kind of want to blow it up.
Right.
Yeah.
It looks so dated.
It does. It looks like a video game cutscene.
Well, I guess it looks like 2003.
Yeah.
Like it looks like it came out the same time as Pearl Harbor. Like the CGI is ultra bright and colorful and kind of I want to say blurry looking. Mm-hmm. Like it's like Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow feel.
Oh, that's never a touchstone you want to bring into things.
It looks like a fantasy. Do you guys, Abe, you make stuff.
Do you do you mean by colorful? Do you mean like not colorful? Because Sky Captain, because it's very desaturated, which is like both of those films have this problem. It's colorful, I guess, in the way that there are they saturate it around specific focus, like reds pop. Right. But everything else, like blues and teals and grays, they're all gray.
Right. I think the better word for it is it's bright. Like it seems it's like Star Wars prequel, like flat lighting, where there's just it just looks so artificial.
That's very Star Wars prequel-y.
That's pretty Roland Emmerich. It's like he does that. He does that a lot. I'm sure we'll have dark scenes, but the omnilit, aspect that you're talking about is very front and center with a lot of war films. I think that's happened. I think Lord of the Rings is kind of what set us off all in that, toward that is like everything should be you should see all of people.
Right.
Even in the shadows, you should see into the shadows.
Right. There's a shot in this where an explosion happens and a plane tips towards the camera. And I don't know if you guys remember the shot. The plane is like it's getting bombed and the plane is supposed to be flying like having been hit. Like the plane is on the ground. It's parked or it's on a ship and it flies towards the camera. And it looks like they literally just did a After Effects where they took an image of the plane and just blew it up. Like gradually made it larger in the shot because it just comes right out at us and it looks so bad. I can't wait to watch this.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah, it's gonna be this year's Battleship.
Yeah. How long do you suppose it's gonna be? About three and a half.
It's gonna be 2 hours and 15 minutes at least.
Yeah,
I'm gonna guess at 150 minutes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. See if they have a runtime yet.
Whatever the length, it's gonna be too long.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I'm all for bringing back like epics. Because movies are getting longer lately. There's been a lot of long movies, but they also have to be good. Like they also have to be movies that I can watch for 3 hours. Tom, are you looking it up?
I'm trying to. I can't find a runtime yet.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe
it's still,
they don't know.
Yeah, they might still be figuring it out.
Yeah, they're still chopping this bitch up.
It does feel like, does this feel like a waste of an Emmerich?
No. I mean, what else would he be doing?
Independence Day 3?
Mm. Yeah, I mean.
Or like another, like a 2012 part 2? Fuck it. Like a war movie? I don't know.
I think he's old school and he likes patriotism, and so this is the movie he wants to make right now because there's a division in culture, probably.
I don't know about you guys. I definitely don't. The only war movies I watch are when they're done, like, we're going to actually do, like, a grounded version, like a hellish grounded version that actually shows war being, like, horrific and not, cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
And this just feels like a waste of Emmerich because it's like, I don't need Emmerich. It's the same with Pearl Harbor. It's like, I don't need an awesome version of a war. Like, I don't need a big a spectacle version.
Well, it's coming out in on Veterans Day. So they're definitely going for that. My big question is, there's a single shot in the trailer, which might be, say something about how they're going to be covered in the film. I want to know how Roland Emmerich treats the Japanese.
Oh, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say not good.
There's some aspect that I could see that I liked about it, which is the shot that they chose to put in the trailer, the one shot of the Asian actors in the trailer, is it's identical to a shot that we see previously with the Americans. Like, it's them, it's like soldiers in a line looking straight forward and not making eye contact with their commander. Right. And like, I hope he does something where it's like, yeah, war is fucking stupid because it's just a bunch of zealots who destroy people's lives for some quote unquote greater purpose, which is usually just money or power. And I don't think he's going to do that. I don't think Roland Emmerich wants to make that statement with this film.
Although, I mean, studios are trying to be global. Like, films are now, like, because films don't make that much money in America anymore.
Right, right. Worldwide market.
Yeah, I can see them, for the interest of just making money, being like, let's not demonize the enemy. Let's make it, I don't know. That's definitely the better way of doing it. And I feel like
it's a better way.
Yeah, and I feel like modern studios know to avoid that. That doesn't mean they do it correctly, but I can see them trying to soften that aspect of it.
Right, right. I don't know how much money Roland Emmerich has right now or how much like he cares about the project, because it's not like another contemporary of his, I would say, would be in the political arena in terms of political films. Like, this one is clearly going to have to be, given the climate, like all the things you said, is like a Clint Eastwood. And he's pretty famous for trying to make sure that he's EP enough that he can control like the statements of the films.
Right.
In the same way that Michael Bay does, you know, that's why the fucking, what, the Megan's Law or whatever that shit got in there, you know, like in that Transformers film about statutory rape.
Very important.
Just like, just want to let you know there's loopholes. It's
and
just
that's like, he's like preparing a defense for
something. Yeah. It's or something. But like in this case, and more broader, and I'm not like saying that Roland Emmerich is a monster. I'm just saying like he might have enough money to try to be like, this is the film. Like, I got that Independence Day money. I really want to make a film that says something that like I want to say because it's such politics just makes everyone angry. And
yes,
he's a human being too. He's going to be angry. I don't know if I'm care too much about what Roland Emmerich's angry about.
Well, that's the thing. He doesn't seem like a particularly political guy.
But like, that's why we go to watch movies and try to find a vision. You know, you see something like Sorry to Bother You and you go like, holy fuck, that's really cool. Why? Because watch it and you'll understand why. And if you like it, you quote unquote get it.
Yeah.
But like, so what's Roland Emmerich got on deck? What's he rearing in the corner? I mean, like, just wait, there's more. Because that's what I think this movie, that's a conscious choice. He didn't just make another 2012 or another Independence Day. He made, like, he's going like the Nolan route or something like that, where he's just like, our tour, I'm just going to pick one here. Here's a little prestige. Here's a little that. Like, he wants to do that as opposed to like, I'm going to make a huge franchise. I mean, Roland Emmerich
did he make Stonewall? Am I remembering that correctly?
He did, yes.
So, yeah, I guess I'm wrong, is that he definitely does have something he wants to say.
Yeah.
He doesn't just want to make White House Down. I guess my argument is that's what he should be doing, is White House Down 2. That's where he shines. But I guess you can't fault him for wanting to say something with his movies.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, maybe his commentary isn't that bad. I just, I typically don't go to older white dudes, unless, I mean, I think the Stonewall one was a great one because like, he was old enough to like react to like, the violent like clash that made the gay liberation movement in New York. And it's just like, there's a unique perspective, but it isn't like he has what needs to be said about
right
now what's going on with gay liberation and gay rights.
The old white dude stuff, we briefly talked about Clint Eastwood. He did the fucking Letters from Iwo Jima and one, Flags of Our Fathers?
Flags of Our Fathers.
That is correct.
Yeah, that was a solid fucking pair of war movies to do. So, like, it's, I mean,
I don't think they're culture blind. I just think that they're going to pick a centrist view.
Right, then he did American Sniper. Like,
yeah,
it sort of depends.
And he did that train movie where he used like non-actors. What was that one?
Busan, whatever it was called.
No. That's the zombie movie from Korea. No, it's like 13, 18 to Paris or something like that.
Yeah, that's the one.
Wait, Clint did this?
Yeah,
yes.
Clint?
Huh.
Yeah.
And then he did The Mule, which I don't think anybody has seen.
Right.
No, why would you watch that goddamn movie? Why would you?
Here's something that I wanted to pivot to about trailers, is that I found about this trailer is I think the first time, I think, Tom, you know, when was the Clash of the Titans?
The remake?
Yeah.
That would have, it's mid-2000s, like 2005, 2006, around
You're
there.
You're shitting okay. me, really?
So that movie, I thought it was like 2010, but I'm not sure.
I thought it was 2013, but...
I think that was Wrath of Time. The point is, that was the first time that I saw in trailers where they do, and they actually do an identical like note segment of editing.
Sorry, Abe, you're right. It was 2010.
What?
It was Clash of the Titans with 2010.
So that was the first time I saw in a trailer where there was a, they would take visual aspects like someone punching someone and they would have a soundtrack that would be like, and in this case of this trailer and then the case of the Clash of Titans trailer, they had a bump, 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 like four hits that were like emphatic, like drum hits that would essentially be like, every now and then the trailer would dip into it. And if you remember in Clash of Titans, it was like they either made it for the trailer or they found in footage like the scorpion goes like bop 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 and his little leggies hit down on the sand right on those notes. Right. This one does the same where it does like someone's behind like a 50 cal, you know, and goes do 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 do. But the best one I've seen, and since trailers do this all the time, my favorite one is in this movie, in this trailer, because it's literally, there's this shot of someone typing, and they hit four keys, like it's like, bum, 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 and it's like, what the fuck does that mean? It's like someone's just typing on a typewriter, like an old-timey typewriter.
Right, is that gonna have significance?
I don't know! It's not definitely not a scorpion trying to threaten our protagonist. It's like a secretary typing like probably a memo.
Yeah.
It's just hilarious how far we expand our like, no, you just do it. Why? Because like that's at the time in the trailer where they like want it and it's how it folds in the music and it's like a feeling of like, oh, this is awesome. And it has nothing to do with anything. It's probably just a shot at the end of a scene where it's just like, and then people continue their jobs and type and do that or something like that. But in the trailer, I just want to be noted that dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, it's treated like it's awesome.
Yeah, it's so fucking awesome.
All right. I'll watch this.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
All right. Speaking of watching, being able to watch things, our eyes, the next one is from Apple TV. And it
Apple
is
TV
a,
Plus.
I think, a series called C, as in S-E-E, as in seeing things. Jason Momoa... in a world where everybody's blind and that's all it took. It all just fell apart.
Yeah. It's future primitive world where we're all native tribe people again and nobody can see. And then the new race of children are born and they can see. And then there's like an evil tribe. It's like, bring us those children. So it's like Willow only with a bunch of blind Vikings.
You're right.
I'm sort of incredibly excited to watch this stupid show.
Sorry, say it again, Tom.
I said I'm sort of incredibly excited to watch this stupid show.
I was about to say the opposite. This trailer repels me.
Yeah, it really.
my favorite part of it is that it goes like from the producers of Peaky Blinders, and I was like, you could have called this show Peaky Blinders.
That would have been great.
Because it's blind and they're peakies.
Yeah, they're little peakies.
Their little peakies are blind.
It's just
that's true.
It's true.
It's true.
It's just, I don't know.
It looks terrible and stupid. I'm not going to lie.
Right away, the premise that we all lose our sight and we just go nuts. Because they're like, they frame it in the trailer of like, God punished us by taking away our sight. And then they're like, when the smoke cleared, there was very few of us left. And it's like, wait, what happened? Were we like, oh, we're all blind. Let's nuke each other. Like, it's the trailer, and maybe they explain it more in the show, but they're just like, everybody went blind, and you know how that would go. So most of us are dead, and it's like, well, hold on. There's a
it's
lot
probably
of people
like
who've
a
lost their sight.
Like a crazy continue. Like, the show will reveal in season two that it was like a, you know, like a solar flare that was continuous for like 20 days and right. It just burned our fucking corneas and that's all we need. And then I don't know. Like that's the thing about this trailer to me is that the idea behind it. Yeah. It's cool. It's got all those like new, like horror genre loves to flirt with it. Like take away a sense and then that's your thing. Right. And yeah, so I see why it was made. It's just one of those ideas that, like, the big ideas, meaning like the ones that matter and like the why, really deflates the small ideas of like Jason Momoa's in this and look how cool right. he looks. You know, like the small ideas of the execution are really just like, I'm not excited about this. There's that one point. It sounds like there's like tribes, unless there's like a village-esque like switch where it's like, oh, actually it's only been one generation or right. something like that. And it was just like people who were in a commune or some ridiculous, you know, thing. It seems like they've formed their whole new society. So multiple generations to have to have occurred since the quote unquote event.
Yeah.
Right?
We see a lot of ruins of society,
you know,
over.
And so that means decades, you know? Yeah. And there's a shot at one point, which would be a great, like, if this was Lost, it would be a great reveal that would probably lead to nothing if it were also Lost. The great reveal in one of the episodes where they're just like, there's a book. But, like, why the fuck in the trailer are they showing us that there's books? Someone holds up, like, 1984 at one point.
Right, yeah.
And it's like the kid, like, people, like, why would they care about books? They can't see. You know, like they would just right. think this is, what is this? This, what is this thing that I'm holding? Well, this is some bullshit. Yeah. So they'll get to read the book, but like, why mm-hmm. did anyone keep the book? Did someone say, I'm going to hand you something right now. It's very important. You hold on to it. Why? I don't know what it is.
I just want to see one version of this. Cause there's always that, like, I don't know why Zardoz immediately comes to mind, but where like reading becomes like where books are no longer a thing and people discover books. And just once I want it to be like the Da Vinci Code, where they're like, we found this thing. And they're like, what is it? And they're like, it's not very good. So let's just drop this whole endeavor.
Yeah, it's tax code.
Yeah. We discovered reading and writing and it, you know what? It kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. So let's just not do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
This trailer, it feels like a pitch someone, like, it feels like either a story that someone wrote and it really got away from them in production, mm-hmm. where they're like, well, why not make it an action? And they're like in tribes and Jason Momoa is there. Or it feels like, yeah, someone watched Bird Box and they're like, we need to, let's do one of those.
Yeah.
Let's do a thing where people can't see.
It was definitely pitched with Bird Box in yeah. mind.
But it definitely, it feels
those
like
words
something
were
where
spoken directly next to each
yeah.
other.
Yeah.
Yes. My point being, it feels like something that they clearly thought of the gimmick before they thought of the justification for that gimmick. Mm-hmm. And so the show is just, I mean, it's called C. Like, it's just all about, like, look, they're blind. They're blind.
You ever been in a TV pitch meeting, Dave?
In a what?
TV pitch meeting. Yeah. That's kind of how it is. It's like, right. what's your gimmick? Like, no, I mean, like, what's the delicious well of water that people right. are going to come with their smacking mouths every week? Like, what
smacking mouths.
I guess this-
with their ugly maws. You know, like, what are they going to keep coming back? Because our civilization should just fall. Like, that's what I'm getting to.
Well, sure. Yeah, we should all lose our sight, and then yeah. naturally we would devolve immediately into caveman times. Yeah. But, like, kind of stylish, even though we can't see. Like, our hair would look really good, and we mm-hmm. would be dressed good. but mm-hmm. in like a post-apocalyptic way.
Like, why would you look good? Yeah. You don't know what it looks like.
No, they'd all be in sweatpants. Like it would be
it would be a culture based off what feels good and what protects you against the elements. And
right.
I'm sure they're going to tackle that in the show, and it's going to be unsatisfying.
Has either of you guys seen the movie? I think it's called Blindness.
No.
It's a movie about people suddenly be going blind and what it would do. And it's like kind of apocalyptic, but it's not this. You know what I mean? Like it's clearly someone, I think it's based off a book. It's someone who like thought about it.
Oh yeah. I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a dark movie. I've only seen it once because it was pretty fucking dark. But like one of the things they point out is that people who are like blind at birth would be kind of helpful, you know, like there's yeah. we have people who are blind and used to it. So like the idea that we would just evolve into caveman times. It's like, no.
My other favorite thing is the conflation of what like blindness is in this based off the trailer. We see Jason Momoa on a mountaintop at one point with some people behind him, and he reaches out for like, I don't know, like a staff or some shit that's like in the ground, and he's like searching around for it like a blind person does, trying to feel around for it, and then he like clearly is going to grab it. But they're also jumping and like yeah. off of ravines with, yes. you know, and like fucking taking fools down like Batman. And it's just like, I get that they're probably going to solve around it by saying like, well, if your senses heighten. Well,
yeah,
only so far.
I think this show will definitely have an accompanying drinking game, which is like every time a character clearly just sees something, drink. Like every time it's just like, no, they clearly saw something there, or they dodged something, right. or it's
every
like
time
they just
the character is obviously not blind.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I have that problem with the Daredevil as well. I understand mm-hmm. he's like a special boy, but we can't all be special boys is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. They're not all Daredevils.
Daredevils. Maybe yeah. the radiation that came from the cosmic rays that caused us all to be blind also infused our, you know, echolocation. I don't know.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I guess.
Let's move on.
They could be like, okay. Modern love! This is a cliche ensemble feel-good love anthology film. I love it.
Show! It's a series.
Oh, no. Okay, I hate it now. I will yeah, accept do. 2 hours of this. Who's in it?
Yeah, this is a series.
Ugh.
Tina Fey, John Slattery, looks like Rosario Dawson, Sophia Boutella. There was a lot of people I saw
yeah.
in this
trailer. They can't all commit to this, right? Would you like,
I mean, you can commit to like a couple of scenes every season. Maybe.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, I'm sure the people working on it are lucky to. I'm sure it's a good show. It doesn't look bad. It just. Man.
It's got Moriarty in it.
It does have Moriarty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I
it's got
the
new mummy.
It's got the new mummy? Oh,
yeah, the mummy lady.
I said her name.
Oh, okay. You did. Okay.
I posed this question in the doc. What's your favorite ensemble feel-good love anthology film?
I mean,
I'm going to go with Kids.
Nice. That's solid, Abe.
That's a pretty strong.
Yeah. Also, that also has Rosario Dawson in it, I believe.
Yeah, it
right?
does.
Yeah,
it does. Mm. Yeah, it's going to be like, I mean, I don't know. I get it. You know what my mind went to when watching this is just, it's like a low-hanging fruit kind of thought, but it's just like, man, trailers are really just like, come to the trough of what do you want? We'll give
it
to
you. Sop it up, you fuckers.
Yeah, sop it up, you fucking mumble mouth. Yeah,
I think this type of genre. Mine, by the way, is playing by heart. I think this genre is mm-hmm. like it's needed. I just the moment yeah. you told me it's a series, I'm like, oh, I couldn't handle that.
Yeah, that
like
is
I like
too
a
much.
Good, I like a good like dumb romantic comedy film every now and then. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like caramel. It's like, yeah, a little caramel's good. But if it's like, we're going to shovel this in your fucking mouth every night, you know, not into it. Playing by Heart has Gillian Anderson and John Stewart, by the way, having as a couple. Mm. So if you ever want to see Scully fuck John Stewart, like they're
kind of.
Yeah. Moore's in there. Sean Connery's in it.
They have
Angelina Jolie's in it.
They have on-screen penetration in that movie. I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. It's like the beginning of Antichrist. It's close-up penetration.
PNV. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we got to watch this immediately.
Yeah, man. I think Ryan Phillippe's in there. Someone correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, it's like that.
Is Ryan
it's that...
Phillippe being used to penetrate someone?
Probably.
Being used?
Yeah, being like used. He's the apparatus that is...
Like he's a vessel. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. 1998's Playing by Heart, you guys. Dennis mm-hmm. Quaid's in it?
Sure.
Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid. I mean, just Sean Connery and Sean Connery and John Stewart in a movie together. Like, can you imagine it? Just really picture it.
Probably not. To. Probably one conversation and then very few conversations after that on set.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Barely one conversation.
Barely one. Someone just walks out, probably.
Yeah, Ellen Bernstein's in it. Come on, guys.
Okay. I think that's
no. You know what? You're not. You don't need to pitch it to me.
All right. Well, I feel like I need to. I think it's very important.
We're
watch
all set.
It.
No, we're all set. But hey, you know, like Modern Love. You know, I'm sure we'll have a lot of observations about how like this day and age is different from like other generations of love. You know,
right?
How it's like so different because we're so not interconnected, and we've lost something. And
right, it's
you know,
modern love.
We just gotta connect. You know,
what if they're all robots?
Hell
what
yeah,
talking about
hell
yeah,
yeah.
It's like
That's almost definitely what's happening. That's a real. That's a real guess. That's a very real guess.
Yeah.
That you just made.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they could do a sequel called Future Love.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's robots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm full of ideas.
Yeah. You should sell TV.
Yeah. Sell TVs.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
You want to move on?
I kind of do want to move on, yeah.
You don't want to talk about Playing by Heart anymore?
Not really.
The next trailer is for Dr. Sleep.
You?
New trailer.
Mm-hmm. Final trailer, according to
final
the...
Final trailer.
Mm-hmm. And boy, does it look to be a snoozer.
Ooh. This is Mike Flanagan directing, which is the biggest thing going for it.
Yeah, very excited.
I think Ewan McGregor is the best thing going for this.
He's good. He's a good guy too. This is the time. This Ewan's back. Ewan is back, folks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We got Obi-Wan coming.
The Ewan-essance. The
Ewan-essance.
I'm excited. He's great.
Yeah. This. What do you guys think? I've never read the book.
I mean, I'm excited for the film.
Yeah, me too.
I haven't watched. I don't like it. I don't like anything about it. But
that's
fair. It's so grumpy.
I am a grumpy. Although I will say that it at least is coming from a place of Stephen King wrote it. It's a continue. I actually don't have as much of a problem as the made, you know, movie as for Stephen King's renewal of this. And if it's true that he's like, there's one line at the beginning of the trailer. Because I haven't read the book, so I can't like quote the book yet. So I'm just inferring what's true about the book, where it's like they reference like there's a place at the Overlook Hotel where it's like there's and the things still there are waiting, kind of stuff like that. And I was like, that is not how I understood The Shining at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't.
No, that's what it was.
I don't think so. I think The Shining is a way in which our brain rectifies like being alone and cabin fever and craziness and the self-destruction.
It's very literal though, because The Shining.
That's definitely the subtext. But yeah, it's literally a haunted house.
Dick Halloran says there are people who shine and there are places that shine.
Yeah,
and
I just don't
the
like
hotel.
It.
The idea I always thought of, and this is why it's one of my favorite ghost stories, is that. And I think they talk about it more in the book, where it's like they specifically say it's like pictures in a book, where they can't hurt you, and it's the idea that you're looking at a place that has so many memories in it that it leaves like a footprint, and what you're seeing is the like indentations, in time of these horrific events. And like they go into it more in the book, where like the Overlook Hotel had a lot of like mob shit go on in it, and a lot of like horrible stuff. So it's like the echoes that are driving people crazy. And then of course, what's his name, Grady, killing his family, like kind of echoes on the Torrance family. That's how
right.
It
just causes the house causes murders, like the haunting on or House Hill or whatever.
Yeah, haunting Hill House.
Right,
Hill House. Yeah, it's okay. Well, forgive my ignorance because I haven't read The Shining either, but I always just watched the Kubrick film and I loved it. And I think I like how it doesn't reveal that aspect of it. That makes a lot of sense, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people into it. But if you are like me at all, if you're just interested in like kind of the psychological thriller aspect of it instead of the horror, I think this is a movie that's just going to go straight horror and not like the loose adaptation of the psychological thriller aspect of it will just be light. Like it will be like a conversation in a few scenes where people are like, are you sure it's all in your mind kind of stuff. Right. And I just think that sucks.
I think you might actually... Here's what I'm wondering. Tom, you said you haven't read Dr. Sleep either.
No, I have read Dr. Sleep.
Oh, you have? So you could probably answer this. Is that Stephen King, the book The Shining, very different than the Kubrick movie. And Stephen King famously didn't like Kubrick's version.
Mm-hmm.
This trailer is clearly a sequel to the Kubrick version. To the point that there's, for example, the hedge maze, which isn't in the original Shining. It's not in the book.
Correct.
So... I wonder how much of this is a sequel to Dr. Sleep, and having read Dr. Sleep, is like the hedge maze in it?
The hedge maze is not in it, but they sure as hell go to the Overlook.
Yeah, okay, I figured they would go back. My guess is that it's not a big part of the story.
It's the finale.
It's the finale?
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's like Act 3.
Yeah,
I got that vibe because in the trailer they're like driving to like where we're going. Yeah. We're going to a place, and then it shot him over.
Yeah, it doesn't take place entirely in the Overlook, but like it's not super. I mean, it's the finale. It's like Act 3 is the Overlook, so it's not like a brief thing.
Right, that was sort of what I was assuming because the trailer is leaning heavily on the Overlook because they know we love The Shining.
Yeah,
and like I like that. Like, I love that they mimic the shot, like, going over the lake from the opening credits of The Shining. I like that they took the original blueprints of the set and they completely recreated it.
Sure.
And I like Mike Flanagan. I'm wondering what I'm wondering now is, how is the rest of it going to hold up? Because right now, it's clearly the things that are making like my dopamine levels spike and shit is like hearing that fucking theme and seeing those shots. And it keeps making me think like, well, I could just go watch The Shining.
I mean, it's a different movie from The Shining for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm really excited about it because I like that director. But I'm predicting that audiences might not like it. That's my prediction on this.
I don't know.
Yeah. I hope I'm wrong.
From what I can tell from the trailer, it's pretty close to the story. But I don't know.
Yeah. It's a bunch of Anne Frank vampires, it looks like. Not Anne Frank. Who am I thinking of?
Yes.
I don't know.
The Interview with the Vampire.
Lestat?
No, the Arthur.
Anne Rice.
Anne Rice, thank you. It's a bunch of Anne Rice looking vampires.
Yeah.
Like, they got the top hats and the glowy eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But they're shining. Do they eat shining?
They're psychic vampires. They, like, drain that special power and life force from children, mostly.
Okay.
See, that's more interesting to me. Psionic vampires is a lot more interesting to me.
That's what the movie's about.
Yeah.
See, that's good. I just know that people have come, more people have watched The Shining than have read any of these books. Yeah. You know, so that's, I think that that's smart of the filmmakers to do things like The Room and The Carpet and stuff like that, like the, you know, the twins in the same, you know, costumes, to make you get excited for, is this Shining 2? I just think that it's just like, nah, just leave The Shining be.
Well, that's what I think is going to happen. I think audiences are going to be mad because I think they'll see this trailer and the marketing is like, hey, you love The Shining, we're going back. And then people are going to watch it and they're going to be like, this had nothing to do with the hotel.
Right. You, on one side, you have everybody. You have everybody, and then the other side you have Stephen King going like, but I wrote books, and you're like, you're right, you are right, don't care as much. Not saying it's bad, just don't care about that. I don't know, because in the same breath I say psionic vampires is a cool concept, I've seen that before. You know, like, that's a thing that has been done. I mean, God, the new show of What Happens in the Shadows, or whatever it's called, What We Do in the Shadows, has the kind of as a joke version. And I think that's something to be said. If someone's making a joke version, that means that there's enough people who have seen the trope. I feel like I've seen that trope. It's a good trope. The Shining is like a near perfect film that I don't want it to be, not sullied, but like be dragged around as a, like, you like that, you know, like, then buy this ticket.
Go ahead.
No, just, I mean, I know it's the, what saves it all is it's all Stephen King. If it wasn't the same, if it wasn't by the same author, it wouldn't be nearly as good. It's just, there's so many things that are triggering my spidey sense about this that I'm just like, I kind of agree with Dave. It's gonna be a thing that people are gonna walk away, majority of people who are like me and haven't read the books are gonna be like, yeah, it went in a different way than I thought it was gonna go. Well, it's because the thing that you wanted had already been done,
right?
They were like promising a second one, so they're promising an impossible thing.
That said, I have faith in Mike Flanagan, so I think a lot of people will be disappointed by this movie. I don't think I'll be one of them.
What's Mike Flanagan done, just for...
He did the entire House, the Haunting of Hill House.
Netflix, the Hill House show, okay.
Yeah, he also did Oculus, he did Hush, Tom, what else?
The surprisingly good Ouija sequel.
Yes, yeah. He's just a... he kind of... Everything he does is good, at least in terms of visual... and he's a really good horror director. And I love, one of my favorite things about him is that most horror directors, the moment they are successfully a horror director, they're like, okay, time to do a Spider-Man or time to do Lord of the Rings. And I mean, both of those are great movies, but you know what I'm saying, where it's like, no, if you're great at horror, why not keep making horror for Dave?
Just
make Dave more horror movies.
Yeah, just make
please.
Dave more horror movies so he can just watch them forever.
So I appreciate that he's just like, no, I'm doing horror.
Yeah, that's my thing.
Yeah, I like that. I'm not as sold. Like, of the things that you named, of the things that I've saw, I'm not super impressed with him as a director. I do think that he's better than what most of what we have. But
right. For sure. He's better than Hollywood horror.
But when I look at The Shining, I look at someone who's closer to, like, Jordan Peele. You know, who is like the horror is close to home, and it does have striking visuals, but the striking visuals aren't what sell the fucking pie. You know, so it's just like, I don't know. I want to like this. If I watch it and I enjoy it, I will change my tune on that, this director.
Sure.
Cause I think that the direction will absolutely sell this. They got Ewan, they got a, ensemble that looks really good. They all the visuals so far look good. I just don't know. Like, they sold me in a really good looking visual trailer. Does the movie really have what it takes to make it a classic? and that's a tough thing.
It's tough. He's sequeling a Kubrick film.
I know.
It's like, man,
that's an impossible problem.
Well, it's not.
Why
just
set
that he's sequeling
up?
A Kubrick film? He's sequeling one of the most famous and well-regarded horror movies ever made.
Right. Yeah, that's like nearly perfect in that it does not.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything unnecessary. And right. That's why when you look at something like, you know, I mean, I guess Get Out or something like that, to stick with the analogy, like, mm-hmm. that's why what made that an instant classic is it was unique in its own right. I want to know how this is unique to the vision of Stephen King and the vision of Kubrick, because we already saw what that is.
Right.
So how is this different?
I don't know. We're gonna find out.
Yeah.
What's the next trailer?
We're definitely gonna find out.
Maybe he's been sleeping on us, and maybe this is his breakout. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. Final trailer. Hulu's Into the No. Is it Hulu? It does. Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
Hulu.
It's Hulu.
Into the Dark series. Uncanny Annie. It's their Halloween episode.
Yeah, this is a show where they've been making a movie for each month.
Yep.
What?
And I need to get caught up on them because they've been.
That's
ones
a unique
I've watched have
been way.
Pretty fun. Yeah.
That's a unique way of doing something.
Yep. And this is the Halloween Jumanji episode.
Yeah, it's Spookmanji.
Yeah, Spookmanji. I don't know much about this, but I am in.
Oh, it was right in front of us, you guys. Boomanji. It was just right there. Right there in front of our faces.
Wait. Say it again?
Boomanji.
Boomanji.
Ooh, Boomanji.
Right,
that's
right fucking
I think it's,
there.
Someone associated with this said that it's not scary. It's more like gory Jumanji. Yeah, I'm fine with that too. Whatever it is, I'm in.
I've enjoyed this. I need to catch up on a lot of them, but I've enjoyed this series. It's a neat idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to catch up with the other ones.
Yeah, I haven't even heard of this, but yeah, I also don't have Hulu.
It's a Blumhouse production. You know, there's the Get Out connection. And yeah, they just have been releasing a movie each month that is based on the holiday or the general theme of the month.
Yeah, some like cultural significance of that time.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, it's a fall month. Okay, let's do it fall based or something like that. Okay, got it. Yeah, it's. I do not care about another movie about small children, specifically girls. Yeah. That are you know, have black like teeth and are making like I'm over it. We got over like this shit was done in the 70s, man. Come on.
Yeah.
I do like gory Jumanji though.
Yes. Yeah. Like rated R Jumanji.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my argument is that if you're a horror fanatic, it's all kind of about execution. So like when it's like spooky little girl, like Ouija is a good example of that, the Mike Flanagan Ouija sequel, where it's like, man, this is just a story we've heard a million times.
Yeah, it's a placeholder. I get it.
Yeah. And I get it for like, if you're not a huge horror person or if you're just, you know, you're less forgiving about that stuff, which I think most audiences should be. But for me, it's just like, yeah, sure. Little dead girl. Let's start there. And, show me something new from
man. There. I love horror so much that I just disagree so hard because I just don't like. Yes, play with the tropes. That's like limiting your toolbox. That's like saying like this screwdriver works on all the problems that I've had before. Now I need to hammer a nail in. It's that the problem is that we just keep churning this shit out, and I'm not just talking about like the James Wans of the world, like. The trope, what does it reignite? Because if you can find a way to take the spooky little girl, like one of my favorite version of this is Paranorman, spooky little witch girl. And kind of don't like stop listening for 20 seconds if you've haven't seen it, because I highly suggest that people go watch it. At the end of Paranorman, we have like sympathy for the placeholder, the witch girl trope. Like she is just been unloved, and like our protagonist actually just like hugs her it out, and then she decides she's not going to be a witch, which could sound like a cop out, but if you watch it, like you said, Dave, it's all about execution.
Right.
It reignites the trope in a crazy cool way where you go like, you know what, this story is about her, it's not about the protagonist, and I didn't realize it until they wanted me to realize it, and it's beautiful. Yeah. I just think that they're the idea of like fans of the horror genre should just be like cool with just the next kind of thing that comes out that just has like a spooky little girl or twins or like someone on a swing set or whatever it may be, to do service to that. That in itself is not interesting. That's why I like things like, as we were talking about earlier, Get Out, which like completely right. revolutionizes a premise and makes it like a psychological study about culture dynamics.
Well, that's kind of what I'm saying, which is that you can start with the cliche and go from there. A movie like The Babadook is like, that's a pretty, that monster is like straight out of old movies.
Mm-hmm.
And they just go somewhere with it that you don't expect.
I agree. I think Babadook is a good example of a good horror movie of the last, you know, half decade.
I guess I'm also saying for the people who, like, I just, like, will put on every fucking horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
And in that sense, there's movies I wouldn't recommend that's just like, okay, we're doing this cliche. Let's see what you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I feel like that's how I discovered a movie like The Babadook originally, was, like, putting on a movie that I thought was going to be a cliche and then being like, oh, shit, this is completely different than what I thought. But I do agree that like It Follows in Us and Get Out, like creating an entirely new boogeyman is, I think, the gold standard. You're right. It's like what
right.
what every horror movie should try to do. But if it can't do that, it can still be scary and effective depending on what they do with the cliches.
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. I guess and I think we agree on this. I think it's just execution is very important. It's just not enough, you know? For me anymore. Maybe it was once upon a time.
Yeah, it really I mean, it's that where audiences get more and more sophisticated, like execution, it gets harder and harder for execution to be original.
Wouldn't
be surprising.
Something that when you like kind of study Hitchcock, there's a, maybe it's not so famous, but there's kind of a famous quote that he had, which is that, and this is paraphrased, is he was asked like, you are creating like a film grammar, this is all critic talk and stuff like that, but you're creating like this, like with Psycho, and you know, like you've done all these, Vertigo, you've done all these new things with horror, you know, and people are now mimicking you. What do you think about that for audiences in the future? And his only response was, I would hate to make films in the future, 50, 100 years from now, because right. the simple tricks that I know wouldn't work anymore.
Right.
Yeah, his, and I'm just like, it's like, yep, he's right. He was lucky. Yeah, he was first.
His iconic scene is, what if someone stabbed you in the shower?
Yeah, which is great at the time.
It's scary, yeah.
Pretty dope.
Yeah, pretty dope,
pretty
dude.
Effective.
Pretty dope.
Yep. That's right. It for trailers. Let's get into news stories. You guys, Alexander Skarsgård has been cast as Randall Flagg in the remake of The Stand, along with Whoopi Goldberg, who he will be facing off against. So, Matt, what do you think Walter... Do you think Walter's going to get Christine? He's going to be Arnie Cunningham?
They got to throw him into one of them, man. I mean, they've got the rest of the brothers in the King stuff.
Walter is in the King other properties. Sardsgard.
Right.
One of the other Sardsgards.
Yeah, and then Stellan. Obviously, Stellan's got to get something.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They gotta give all the Skarsgård something.
They gotta bring
point.
Dad just, in. You know?
Yeah. The big. This is as much their series as it is Stephen King's.
I've
you know?
At this point, yeah.
Yeah.
I've said for a long time, and I'm so glad to be right, is that what the world needed was an Alexander Skarsgård versus Whoopi Goldberg film.
I know.
Now you've got it. It's a mini series, I think. But
mini series.
Good.
But yes.
It kind of has to be a miniseries.
It's exactly what we needed. It's going to save us. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's the Man in Black, right? Randall Flagg is the Man in Black?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I'm pretty excited for, this. I'm kind of excited for rewatching the Gary Sinise one now, because I thought that was pretty good. And I kind of want to reread the book now. I like The Stand.
Yeah, it's okay.
I remember thinking that the miniseries was awesome. But it's...
Yeah.
I don't think I've watched it since I was a kid.
Yeah, I watched it... When I first came to LA, when I drove... When I got the job at Cracked and I drove to LA, it was a 5-day drive. I spread it out for 5 days and I listened to The Stand, the extended version, on audiobook, and then proceeded to have to continue to listen to it for another like 6 months because it's so goddamn long.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, this will be a good, this will last me the drive and then some. And then I watched the Gary Sinise one, miniseries. And so it's been like last 5 years, and I thought it held up. Like, that was the first time I had ever watched it. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was pretty good. Like, obviously a little dated, but not unwatchable. And yeah, I don't know. I can't wait to see what they do with this new one.
Sure.
Do we know who's making it?
Josh Boone.
I do not.
Hmm.
I don't
know. The guy who made the New Mutants. That still hasn't come out yet.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we're ever going to see the New Mutants. Or is that just
not
a legend?
At this point, it has passed into legend.
Yeah. Like, at this point, what would even be the point of putting it out? Like, I mean, I guess if they've already made it, what do they have to lose? But Jesus Christ. So yeah.
Yeah.
The Stand.
The fucking Stand.
When is this coming out? Do we know yet?
2020.
Okay. So the future.
Got a little mm-hmm. the future.
And it's gonna be on CBS All Access, right?
It sure is.
All right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yep. Just like your Twilight Zones.
That's a real shame. So I'll probably never see this.
It just says it's gonna premiere. I don't know.
Okay. I guess for Picard. Gonna have to get it for Picard.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Next story is, Paul Feig is making something called Dark Army.
Yeah.
That's going to feature Universal Monsters.
Who gives a shit? Like, they need to stop trying this, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it's not working.
Yeah. I mean, I could see this being maybe a comedy. Them kind of realizing that it's not going to work anymore, so we're going to make a Monster Squad. We're going to do something weird with it. But yeah, it's not connected to the what did they call it? Dark Universe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not connected to that.
Here's my only favorite part about it. Obviously, the choice to do Paul Feig is going to be something. And I think I can kind of unveil it because you don't get it. It's not called Dark Army. There's the most important part that the very little that we know about it is mm-hmm. that it's Paul Feig said, no one was specific on how it would tie to the music, Monster Universe, or that was what, critics were saying. He says, I'm told the project will include characters from Universal's classic monster library and original characters created by Feig. So that's what the producer said. They're keeping it really close to the chest here, but there's the single most important thing I think about the little blip that I read is that it's not just called Dark Army. There's an exclamation point at the end of Dark Army. So it's actually called Dark Army. So, the reason that's important is that I think that the combination of a comedic based director alongside with that title with an exclamation point and just knowing how horror movies used to be is that I think it's going to be closer akin to something like there's going to be comedy involved, but it's going to be closer to something like Mars Attacks or something like that. It's going to be like constantly penning, making fun of itself. And if it doesn't go, and I could see myself being interested in that, where it's like, it takes the thing where it says, okay, Dark Universe failed. Universal Studios doesn't know how to save this. They're just always going to play second fiddle. How do we do this? Well, we blow it up by, kind of doing something fun with it, you know, just fucking with it, like a Deadpool or something like that. And right. then that now, or like, even with inside the MCU with like Legion, you know, or like what's the new one they're doing with the, Elizabeth Olsen. I forget what they're calling it, but it sounds like it's going to be like some of the scenes are going to be like sitcom three camera setup. Like it's going to feel like they're playing with the format. And I think if they do that, then we don't really know what it's going to be. And it could be cool. Yeah. All we know is there's classic monster properties. Like for all we know, it could be as good as the Edgar Wright trailer in between Planet Terror and the other one, right. where it's just like, don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it could be as simple as that, where it's just like a sequence of like, I don't know what it could be, but it's like, it seems like it's not trying to take itself seriously is my point.
Yeah. I hope they figured it out that no one wants a serious, Universal Monsters universe at this point.
Yeah.
Like it's very clear that that's not the direction they should go in.
Yeah. Let's go Bela Lugosi style, you know?
Yeah. Let's do something. It's like all their other ideas didn't work. So they're like, okay, I guess fuck it. Let's do this.
That's possible. I don't know. We don't know enough about it. Only that it's announced and it has an exclamation point.
Speaking of monsters, let's briefly talk about the Jeremy Renner app, which was shut down after being completely taken over by trolls
before its time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. R.I.P. Jeremy Renner had an app, you guys. You could pay to have Jeremy Renner read your posts. It was like Instagram style. Like there's been other apps like this made for other celebrities. And one comedian says that he broke it. He takes credit for it because they realized that when you get a notification from the app, when anybody comments on anything you say, the notification makes it look like Jeremy Renner himself commented on it.
Mm-hmm.
So then everybody started commenting things knowing that it would be funny because it looks like Jeremy Renner's saying it. And then there was a bunch of people asking him to fuck their wives.
And the word porno became a meme for trolls. Yeah, the article that I read was from Deadspin, and it was, the same. It was, I broke the official Jeremy. And I couldn't help but think about, like, goddamn. Like, because it's just, like, we're seeing the formation of, like, a meme. Like, and it's, like, not even a big meme. It's, like, a tiny meme. It's as in-jokey as it gets for people who are on the Renner app, and then people on the auxiliary who weren't a part of that witness it and kind of piece it together of like what went on. And of course the story is that like this one comedian essentially was just like, I'm gonna watch porno when Jeremy Renner asked to his entire, you know, following on the app, like, what are you guys up to tonight, like this weekend? And then he makes it seem like he is the owner of something like that, and that's the man, there's nothing worse than people who are trying to solve the mimetic equation by trying to take ownership of a meme. It just, it's like now we're getting into the postmodernism of memes. It's just like, I don't like Jeremy Renner made a mistake. The app's creators made a mistake, or the people who designed like, this is what this app should be, made a mistake because they should have anticipated this. And they were just hoping, like, God, they're so wholesome. They're hoping that the internet wouldn't ruin it.
Well,
and
it's like the Twilight Zone episode, or I also Treehouse of Horror episode, where someone creates, or the Futurama episode, where a mini society is created, and because it's scaled down, you watch their history go through all of humankind in like a day.
Yeah,
and you see the natural progression. That's kind of what this is that it's so cute because they started of like, here's this app and, you know, it'll be fun and, you know, people will say whatever. And then like within like a week, they were like canceling. They were like shutting down people's accounts for saying stuff about porno and like trying to moderate it. And then there were people being like, this place is bullshit. All this censorship. And then there was people like freedom fighters in the app, just like, you can't shut us down. Like, it just went through the
it went through
evolution.
The gamut. Yeah.
Yeah, until the Jeremy Hunter app was like, okay, we're
shut
pulling
it down.
The plug.
Shut it down. It's done. Yeah, yeah, and that's what happens in this day and age, is that you put out something wholesome as a platform. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that ain't gonna work.
Yeah, the moment you're like, hey, I'm gonna make this open forum for everyone and we're not gonna censor anyone,
and it's gonna be like
later,
this,
you're gonna be like, okay, we got Nazis, we're gonna have to do something about this. Like, it's just
yeah
how it goes.
Now, that sympathy for Twitter. Mm-hmm. That's they have insurmountable problems to deal with. Not saying that they can't do it better. I'm just saying,
right,
that's the nature of the internet, is that you're gonna have people who are broken inside and right. need to fuck with things. And I yeah. empathize with everyone. Empathizes with both sides of this equation. So when someone says there is diarrhea shooting out of my penis, and it looks like Jeremy Renner is saying this, that is funny. We're all laughing. It's great. It's a stupid
it's
joke.
Yeah.
Someone on the other side of the table is going to go, oh my Lord, how dare them sully the Renner in this way? And then you have people now,
you know,
at each other's throats.
You know who said the exact phrase, how dare they sully the Renner like this?
No, who?
Jeremy Renner.
Well,
clearly Jeremy Renner said that.
That's what the notification,
at some point,
if you own the app, said.
Oh, I'm just saying, at some point he threw his phone at an assistant and screamed that.
Oh, yes. So you could quote it with...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, yeah, you could... You have some... Like, you can't...
Like, he calls himself the Renner.
You wouldn't be
I'm
a
saying.
True journalist, but you could probably... you could probably report that probably happened.
Yeah, I feel like it happened.
Much in the same way that the author of this Deadspin article totally broke the official Jeremy Renner app by posting
right.
the word porno on it. Go fucking
right.
suck it.
I mean, I think what... Even if this author was the inciting incident, what he I think it's a he, needs to understand is that if it wasn't this person, it would have been something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's inevitable.
He didn't break it. It broke itself the moment it was existed.
The moment it decided to exist. It was doomed.
The moment someone's like, hey, let's make a Jeremy Renner app, it's like, no, you should not do that.
Yeah, there's a number of reasons.
And it's only going to end one way.
Until we solve computerized moderation that works, which is another way of saying, like, how does human intelligence work? Let's make a computer do that. Until we do that, we're going to have this problem. Now, the problem with that is that then we have a computer that can think like a human. Anticipate
not just think like a human, moderate humans. And it's like, oh, I don't want that. I don't want an AI that's sole purpose is
it's
to,
like,
know when to tell us to
you
shut
are censored
up.
Why? Because I think you mean this, actually, even though you're saying this. It's called satire, and I know what it is, and it's not allowed here. And you're like, oh,
and
no,
you're like, oh
no,
god, it's correct.
Oh,
the
no,
robot is right.
It knows who I am. Yes, I searched through your all of your history, and
I know what's in your heart.
And as an aside, I've determined that you should be rooted out of the population. Drones deploying. You know, it's like, that's, yeah, that's, we are in an impossible situation.
Indeed.
I'm looking forward to that.
Let's move on.
All right. Well, speak
what's,
of the apocalypse.
What's the next story?
This actually, I don't think this is as big of a story as people are going to make it out to be.
That's
Joker got a 8-minute standing ovation at its Venice premiere.
I am sick of this movie, and it won't come out for several more weeks.
Yes. I'm also sick of this movie. This particular headline, I want to point out that Clerks 2 got a 10-minute standing ovation. And I like Clerks 2, but my point being is that, like, at
it's
these premieres...
Eight.
That's not 8. It's better. It's better than 8. My point
eight.
Is that at these premieres, like, all the fucking people who worked on it are there. Like, of course they're going to clap for 8 minutes. That doesn't mean it was
doesn't
worth
mean shit.
8 minutes of a
it
ovation.
Doesn't mean shit. Yeah.
Yeah, but I've just seen this being thrown around on Twitter.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
That shit happens in festivals all the time.
Yeah.
And that film wins because everyone gets taken up by like the festival's buzz. You know, people are like, right. Did you watch the Joker movie? Oh, I didn't know. I got to get to
it.
I will say
that it was much less well received at TIFF this past week.
I think because it had time to realize that the internet didn't like it. And so that loomed over the event. My point is, what if it's good, guys?
Well, here's the thing. It could be good. It could be fine.
We don't know. Stop thinking about it.
That's why like I agree with Tom where it's like I'm so sick of this movie where it's you know when it comes out there's going to be that Rotten Tomatoes thing where it's like audiences are going to be like these SJW critics. Yeah, and the critics seem to like it, but there's clearly this ideological like rift happening around this movie.
Yeah.
And that really bums me out. Because it basically means that it's going to take like a year and a half before we can actually discuss the quality of this film.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm sure the answer will be like, it's fine. Like, it's not world changing.
No.
It's probably a pretty good film. I don't know. It hasn't come out yet, so.
We shall see.
I might hate it. Yeah, I don't know, man.
It's no Jeremy Renner app, that's for sure.
It's no Jeremy Renner app.
There's diarrhea coming out of my penis.
There's diarrhea coming out of my penis. You heard it here first.
It's in the movie. It's in Joker.
Yeah. Oh, God, I hope that's a line.
Yeah.
It's just in the trailer. One of those big moments.
It's when he's doing stand-up, like, you know, and he's trying to get everyone to laugh, and everyone's like, I don't get it. He's like, but imagine if Jeremy Renner said it, and everyone goes, ah, you got me.
Right. And there's just people make, like, the why so serious type posters.
Exactly.
There's diarrhea.
It's supposed to be one of those, like, chilling moments, and it's just Joaquin Phoenix going, there's diarrhea coming out of my penis.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great thing to yell during sex, by the way.
Instead of like Joker masks, they have like cod pieces that is just a penis.
Just
but
squirting human shit everywhere.
Yeah. God, I want that.
That's the film.
Yeah.
The 8-minute standing ovation.
4 stars.
Speaking of diarrhea, they're filming the next installment of the Wrong Turn franchise. Yeah. Has anybody seen these?
Nope.
No.
I have no thoughts.
There's 9 of them.
All right, let's move on.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I've never seen these.
That was
either.
My favorite topic of the day.
Yeah.
Is it just is it about people who they are going somewhere and they turn
wrongly? Yes.
Yeah, wrongly.
It's very Texas Chainsaw.
Okay.
And there's probably
normal
mutants.
People getting lost in the country.
I gleaned it from the image. Yeah.
I'm never going to watch this.
Looks like
movies.
Cabin no, Fever, not. Hill Have Eyes. I haven't heard enough about it being good that I don't think it is.
Yeah. It looks extremely generic, and I apologize for all you Wrong Turn fans out there.
You turn heads.
Hey, someone pitch Wrong Turn to me and make me go like, here's why you're wrong. It's actually really good. Mm-hmm. It's a right turn.
It's a right turn.
And I'll be like, okay, do tell.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just, man.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't be. I just. No interest, you guys.
Sure. Dave?
Yes. Yes, Tom.
Dave?
What is it, Tom?
Dave, do you. I know this is asking a lot, but do you have a movie that deserves more hype?
Yeah, I guess I do.
Yeah. Oh, it's a hype cast. I get it now. You do it for like 2 minutes at the end. I got it.
Yes, that's where the hype is.
It's clickbait. This is all clickbait.
Right, yeah. guys, this movie is called Tigers Are Not Afraid. This is... I was going to say this is getting enough hype, but it really isn't. This is being released by Shudder, the streaming app, also in limited theaters. This is premiered on Shudder. It was a surprise premiere that happened today. This has both a critic and audience score on Rotten Tomatoes of 96%. It's got a good amount of critics. And I watched it already.
Oh, yeah.
It is a film about a group of five children who I don't know exactly where in Mexico, but they're all been orphaned by the drug wars, by drug dealers, like killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And they're at like being threatened by the cartels who want to kidnap them and human traffic them. And it's got a real like Pan's Labyrinth feel for that reason.
Yeah, I caught a lot of Pan's Labyrinth Devil's Backbone vibes from it.
Yes, and people are comparing it to Guillermo del Toro, early Guillermo del Toro. I'm here to say that it is and it isn't. It's quite good. I recommend it. It's kind of like Stranger Things, like a Danger Kid story, only extremely gritty. Like, because they're just orphans, and it's like it's way more
I'm into that
grounded, yeah,
which is surprising given that my takeaway from watching the trailer, which is obviously going to be, you know, that's, you know, window dressing, that's like, here's why you want to see the movie, one of the major clear selling point of the trailer was this is a magical realism film, kind of right. Like, you know, in the same way that how, like, Where the Wild Things Are, mm-hmm. where it was, you know, like, sold up to its release. You know, it was about, like, there's, like, magical, like, lizards and blood that follows you. And, like, there's a bunch. Yes. It's like a grab bag. It's not just, like, it's dragon. One device where it's just, like, in a horror movie, it's like, yeah, and you turn around and the lady smiles at you. And if you look at the smile, it's, like, really creepy. You know, it's, no, this is, like, they're completely imagining a world. I get a lot of Bridges of or what's the fucking name?
Bridge to Talibithia.
Yeah, that's the one. I get that kind of vibe where it's like we kind of jump into this mental magical realism space of the characters. Is that true?
Sort of. It's actually more grounded than you think. There's elements, fantasy elements within it, but it almost entirely takes place in reality. It's as in the synopsis that we have here on the doc, it's the girl gets three magical wishes, and her first one, it basically starts with her coming home and her mom's gone, and she's been taken by a cartel, and she wishes for her mom to come back, but her mom's dead. So she comes back, and it's not fantastic.
No.
It's not great. Dead people are not in a good mood.
That's like an episode of Buffy does that.
Yeah. It's terrifying. And it's sort of based off of that, where she makes these wishes, and they're kind of it's kind of the monkey's paw type aspect, but mm-hmm. it's also just a very compelling story about this group of kids who are forced to live on the streets and have no resources. It's quite good. It's pretty short. It's an hour and 20 minutes. And like I said, I was expecting this was like limited theater release. But they just sort of dropped it suddenly. And there's been like a small amount of hype about it. And I suggest if you have Amazon, Shudder does a, like a 7-day free trial. I like having Shudder because it gives me a bunch of horror movies. But you could, and I'm sure it'll be available to rent as well.
Yeah.
But right now you can do that free trial and watch this film, which, yeah, if you like early Guillermo del Toro, it's not quite the same, but it's going to scratch that itch.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm definitely going to watch this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll get around to it. It definitely looks like a good, at the very least, a great directorial presence that I'm like, okay, this person's going to make some, like, if this film isn't that good, this person could go to work and probably mm-hmm. develop, or this thing is ready, like, right. It's ready from the get-go, so I'll definitely watch it. Yeah. Guillermo del Toro loved the film.
Yeah, he had a review blurb in the trailer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Yeah, I watched the trailer a while ago, and then once it came out today, I was like, you know what, I'm just going to watch it, because
that's fair.
Quick watch, yeah.
This is the last time I was on Hypecast, we talked about the film with the, I forget what it's called, but the dogs, the two dogs. That was your hype movie. And we talked about that how like the filmmakers ran around a skate park and they were like, these kids sexually are shitty. It's probably the dogs. We want to talk about the dogs. Like, this right. is like a success of like, obviously it's not like a documentary, so it's different, but it's just like,
right.
I think this is the way you do like tragedy for children is you fucking harness it in a fairy tale.
Yeah, for sure. I would not recommend children watching it, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, that's how we remember our childhood.
I do like to think that they were, like, just filming the kids, and they're like, you know, these ghosts are more interesting.
Yeah, oh, yeah, these yeah. ghosts it's a documentary now about ghosts. Yeah,
we found the ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah, we found these ghosts hanging out with these kids.
Yeah.
Well, sweet. Yeah, yeah. We'll check that shit out.
Check it out.
Did we cast the hype?
We did. That's a sewed.
That's a sewed. You're so, I never have heard a podcaster as enthusiastic for endings than Tom. Like, you're like, yeah, baby, we're done.
We yeah, did
we
it.
Fucking did it.
I can get I back to
not,
my
we're
life.
We're doing this anymore.
I mean, I love it, but like, I'm scared. I think you're just like, are you okay? Are you just scared yeah. all the time? Do you need to?
Usually, yeah, I operate on a borderline level of fear.
All right. So you're just happy to get out of every situation as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love you guys. Thank you so much for letting me guess this
yeah,
shit.
Man. Thank you for doing the show. What do you want to say? What do you got to plug? Where can people find you?
Make a declaration.
I'm a real big fan of these Rosarita beans, you know, normal, like, off-the-shelf refried beans. They've had for a while, and I've just tried them a smooth restaurant style. And they just blend the beans up. And it really makes, you know, like, it makes a good, it's a good nacho bean, is my
point. What's your view on, like, small beans?
It's a thing I do with Michael Swaim.
There we go.
Yeah. Smallbeans.patreon.com. Come visit if you like jokes. Yeah.
They do all things beans. It's a big, it's all bean about related. Beans.
Yeah, it's all bean related.
Real bean heavy content.
Yeah.
Dave, what do we got? We have a Patreon.
Yeah, that address is patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. Mm-hmm. We have the other tiers where you can produce podcasts for us. And we have a movie watching night every Friday where we watch, you know, probably Playing by Heart.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. We also have a TeePublic.
We do. TeePublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed. We can get t-shirts and stickers and mugs and a sweet Fox Mulder's a Maniac poster. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Just waiting for you to click on it.
Yeah, click that shit.
You fucks.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah, what the hell?
What's wrong with you guys?
Let's be done.
All right.
You guys want to be done?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, let's be done. All right, enjoy your Friday, everybody. Or whenever you're listening to this.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't care. Maybe it's a Tuesday. I don't know what your life is.
Mm-hmm. I don't presume to know.
Say goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Our music is produced by Chris Corlew. You can follow him on Twitter @TheCorlew, CORLEW, and find more music at shipwreckedsailor.bandcamp.com. Our artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter @JustinTBrown, and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.